So we've got two more weeks left in our Colossians study, and this morning we're going to look at a section that I think has a really important lesson for us on how we navigate kind of life's dark moments. So the theme of our study has been grow in the dark, and the reason for that is to acknowledge, like, we're going to go through stuff in life. You're going to have some uphill climbs, the wind's going to be in your face, going to be some disappointment, going to be some disruption. Nothing about being a Christian promises us we're going to get our best life with no problems. I mean, we're going to go through things, but our hope and our belief, our confidence, is we can grow right through those moments, and God can add spiritual maturity to our life, abundance spiritually to our life. We can be victorious in those seasons, and so there's no reason to kind of fear or put off hard times. We can grow in those moments. So today, as we look at this lesson, we're going to talk about this way of growing kind of in the dark. We're going to talk about raising and elevating our sense of, like, spiritual sensitivity. Pop that up for us, guys. Growing in our spiritual sensitivity. Now, when I say that, I know I run the risk of sounding like I just said we're going to watch a chick flick. Because not everybody's super excited or thinks like in terms of gusto, like spiritual sensitivity. But I'm going to tell you something. The more like biblical facts we can put around it, the more that you're going to see that walking in spiritual sensitivity is more action movie than it is chick flick. More Die Hard, less Notebook, all right? So as we step into this spiritual sensitivity, here's what I want you to think about that. It's the capacity to be really aware of things that are happening around you. And as you become aware of it, like, you know what to do with what you see. Spiritual sensitivity. Like, I'm aware of some things that are happening around me, and my spidey senses are kind of going off. I'm aware of it, but I also know exactly what to do. Spiritual sensitivity. In the Old Testament, there's a list of great fighters, warriors. And on this list, it kind of gives us a sense of, like, these are some macho guys. Pop that up for us, please. Thank you. These warriors from God, look at this. The weakest among them could take 100 regular troops. The strongest could take 1,000. These are bad boys, right? But I want you to see one group of these fighting men are very spiritually sensitive. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men, look at this, they understood the time. That there's a spiritual sensitivity about them to know kind of the moment. They see what they need to see. They see things happening and they recognize it. There's a spiritual sensitivity. And look at this. They knew the best course for Israel to take. Spiritually sensitive. You see things as they're happening. You recognize it. You know what it is, but then you also know what to do. How's your spiritual sensitivity? Now, I'm going to give you an example of kind of processing your spiritual sensitivity, and I'm going to admit to you it is a risk. I probably wouldn't use this had we not navigated through 2020 with such balance. So we've been through stuff, right? As a country, as a faith family, we've processed things like social justice, the election, in a very biblically balanced way. So if you don't know me, you haven't been around, you may not appreciate this example, but if you have, it's going to track with you because there are things that are happening that we can see. All right, so with that introduction, go ahead and pop up the question. What am I seeing? What am I seeing? Three things that I want to point out to you just in terms of kind of the environment, the culture that we live in, big tech and corporate collaboration, government guidelines, contact tracing technology. What do you see? Now, when I take the first one, the big tech and corporate collaboration, do you see censorship happening? It's interesting. Big tech has been given a legal standing that's similar to a library. You can't sue a library because it has offensive books in it. Big tech was given the same basic privilege because they were an open source of information, a public forum where people could kind of share ideas and information. So they were given that protection. But then they decided they didn't just want to be a place where they provided that kind of open forum, but now cross over into being judge and jury for the information that's being shared, deciding on their own what's right for you and what's not right for you. And then you wed that together with corporations who, by the way, even this past week, there was an admission to Congress that those two groups are collaborating with one another. And now you take the corporate side of it, which is what you can buy and sell, and all of a sudden, there's a whole lot of scary power being put in the hands of big tech and corporations. It falls in the category of censorship. And not to get weird, but it gets kind of close into that mark of the beast territory where there's coming an authority who decides what you can buy and sell and what you need in order to buy and sell. What are you seeing? Government guidelines. We're in a pandemic, so we're all thankful that government has a priority of helping keep people healthy, and they're working all that stuff out. But does anybody look at government guidelines and does anybody see an overreach? Where you have now states that are issuing guidelines that impact holiday gatherings, that tell us things like how to eat, raise your mask, take a bite, put your mask back down, raise your mask, take a bite, keep your family all 6 feet away from you. Anybody feel a little bit of an overreach? Yeah. Contact tracing technology. In the name of COVID, it makes sense. Like, we kind of want to know where the virus is and how it's spreading, and we want to study that and learn that and understand that. But when the corona is over, does anybody have some concerns about what they're going to do with that technology of tracking me, knowing where I'm at, who I'm talking with? I'm not sure that government or whoever is just going to bleach that technology away. So I bring this up because this is part of this dynamic of spiritual sensitivity. What do you see? And there are people who look at things like this happening around them and they see things that concern them. Now the question is, what do you do with your concern? Head to the bunker? Get on the social media and just kind of start circulating all of that? Call your congressman? So what do you do? Now, I think there are multiple avenues of things you can do. What I'm going to promote to you today is something maybe you haven't considered doing, and it's in that lane of having a heightened, like, spiritual sensitivity. See things in front of you and know what to do. Ready? Take your Bible. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And let's take a look at this. Raising our spiritual sensitivity. All right? Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses, but really verse 2 is going to be our primary text as we tease out what are we supposed to do in raising our spiritual sensitivity. All right? So it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the alert mind and work our way around the passage. So spiritual sensitivity is going to begin with an alert mind. Now, the term alert mind is one word in the Greek language. It means spiritual alertness. spiritual alertness. An alert mind is not a caffeinated mind. It's not a mind that's even acutely intelligent. It's spiritual alertness. That's why it's translated sometimes like watchful, being vigilant, spiritually staying awake. The Message translation reads this way: stay alert with your eyes wide open. Right? An alert mind is looking. An alert mind is watching. An alert mind is being attentive to see what we can see. It's paying attention to what's right in front of you. Things are not being lost on you. You're paying attention. You have an alert mind. Now, sometimes things are lost on me. Things happening right in front of me, they're lost on me. For example, maybe this happens to you. Almost weekly, I go to the refrigerator. I open the door. I step back, and I'm looking. I'm looking. Joe, my wife, comes by and goes, "What are you doing?" I'm looking for, and I tell him what I'm looking for. And then without a word, she goes, "There you go." How do you do that? It's like a superpower, right? It's right there in front of me, but I can't see it. There's a lot of times there are things that are in front of us, but we can't see it. We need an alert mind, a spiritual alertness in order to see it. And then once we see what we need to see, we see the problem, we see the concern, we see the issue, we see the obstacle, we see the opportunity. Watch this. Spiritual sensitivity helps you make a leap. The leap is from this, from information to intercession. Spiritually sensitive people have an awareness. They see what they need to see, but then there's a leap that you have to take between just information and intercession, right? So notice this. The alert mind is going to enable us to devote ourselves to prayer. So what we see, when we see it, man, I see something. One of the things that we know to do in a spiritual sensitive state is to pray about it. See and pray. Now, prayer is an effective way of dealing with the concerns that we see. Take a look at this particular verse. James chapter 5 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person," notice this, "has great power and produces wonderful results." So when you see something, one of the best things that you can do is talk to God about what you see, because that's effective in producing a wonderful result. I don't know what the result of hitting your bunker is. I don't know. But I can tell you, when you pray about it, the result is strong. So see and pray. It's interesting, the Barna group that does research not too long ago found that 76% of Americans, not church people, 76% of Americans say they think prayer is effective and it would be helpful to do it more often. 3 out of 4 people. So, you know, I think prayer is actually helpful, and I probably should do that more often. This graph shows us some of the things that people said that they felt like they needed to pray for. So things like needs in my family and community, guidance in crisis, health, travel safety, concerns in the nation or government, concerns about global problems and injustices. So there's lots of things we see. What's important is to take the leap from information into intercession and pray about it. Now, when we use the term prayer, I know that can be an intimidating topic. Like, how do you pray? You're around some people from time to time in spiritual circles, and you hear them pray and go, "Man, they know how to pray. I don't know how to even pray." So what is prayer? Let's make this as simple as possible. Prayer is talking with God. That's it, my friend. Is talking with God. Now, here's a funny thing. The disciples came to Jesus, the 12 that kind of hung around him, and said, "Hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray." Now, Jesus is a great teacher, right? You would expect how Jesus responds to their question is to pull out some teaching aids and like teach an incredible detailed lesson on prayer. But the way Jesus taught them to pray was just to talk to God in front of them. It's like, boys, let's not overcomplicate this. This is not that hard. All you need to do is just open your mouth and just start talking to God. That's prayer, and it's very personal. It's not what someone else thinks or wants or desires. It's you. You talk to God. Tell God what you see. Tell God what you feel. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you would like him to do in that situation. It's very, very personal. Now, there's different ways you can talk to God. This graph, same research, found that the majority of people like to talk to God silently by themselves. So that's one way you can talk to the Lord. You just, in your thoughts, you can talk to him. Other people said, hey, 13%, audibly by myself. That's how I roll. For me, one of the places where I might audibly by myself pray is in my car. And I've noticed from time to time, if I don't pay attention, like at a stoplight, I might be talking to the Lord and the person next to me is kind of looking at me like, that person is wacko, because I'm just talking. Audibly with another person or group, collectively in church. So there's a lot of ways that you can talk with the Lord. The key is this: spiritual sensitivity is alert mind. You're looking, you're seeing, and then once you see, you talk to God about it. Now, if you're the type of person you just never really had any kind of instruction or help in learning how to pray, we created a resource for you this week that you can download. It's on the screen. You can go to that address. You can download this. It gives you like 7 days, a full week of coaching and help on kind of building some structure into your prayer life, put some training wheels so you can pedal in prayer a little bit easier. We provide that for you. But please, don't even let that overcomplicate the simplicity of what is prayer. It's just talking to God. Okay? Once you see, now we got to talk to God about it. Let's go back to our verse. So this word, devote, even helps us to get our arms around the praying part. All right? So the word devote means steadfast, continuous, persistent kind of praying. The root word is from a word that means to grab onto something, get a strong grip, and then don't let go. Right? It's the same word that's used in like ancient military terms to describe a particular kind of battle strategy where armies would go out and they would circle a castle or circle a city, and then it would be siege warfare. They just kind of wait things out. I was reading about one battle in the War of the Roses in England many years ago. One castle, they circled it, they sieged it, they persisted in their fight for 7 years. One battle for 7 years. Persistence. Now, the Bible outlines some different descriptions of this idea of persistent prayer. Ephesians calls it praying at all times. Jesus at one point said, pray and never give up. Thessalonians calls it without ceasing. Again, Jesus in Luke 11 said, ask, seek, and knock. That's persistent praying. Talk to God and keep talking to God about it. It's not a one and done, hey, I mentioned this last Thursday. No. It's keep talking with God. Persistent prayer. Now, If you look at that description, we can all kind of pull away from that and feel a bit intimidated by that narrative, because like, who has time to do that? It's like the impression is like somebody sits in a room all day and this is what they do. They just pray all day long. They just sit and pray all the time. Well, God bless you if you've got that kind of time. I don't have that. And so you almost like disqualify yourself based upon a false impression of what persistence looks like. Persistence is not just somebody who has enough time to just sit and pray all day. In fact, here's my definition of persistent prayer. I'm going to call it fresh and choppy. It's fresh and choppy. Fresh means it's in real time. It means as you're experiencing, as you see something, like right then when you see it, you can pray about it. It's fresh, it's in the moment, and it's choppy. Meaning it's a dialogue that happens all throughout the day, and it doesn't have to have formal bookends of like, our Father in Jesus' name. It just is a steady dialogue so that as you see something, I can say something, I mean, tell God about it. You can come in, you can go out. It's a little bit choppy. A Quaker by the name of Thomas Kelly put a much more pretty definition to it than what I did, fresh and choppy. He called it divine breathings. Like that's persistent prayer. And he wanted to pull the idea of the supernatural into the natural. Divine breathings. In other words, I don't have to like put my life on pause to practice this. I can continue to be in meetings. I can be shopping. I can be at school. I can be engaged in normal rhythms of life and pull the supernatural into it. On one level, I'm just doing very normal things. On another level, I'm inviting God into the space to do something about what I see. Let me give you some kind of practical ways that kind of looks in my life, all right? So the other day, I was at the Walmarts in the parking lot heading towards the building. And as I was walking towards the building, there's a couple in the parking lot that I can tell they're not having a good day. They're having a Walmart day, right? And the reason I call it that is because I know what's happened. Like, you know, he wanted to buy something and she wouldn't let him, because that happens to me all the time, right? I'm in the Walmart, bring things to the buggy, and Jill goes, take it back. You got to do the Walmart walk of shame. You got to walk that item back, you know, and put it on the shelf. It's humiliating. I know what's happened. They're just in this intense moment. Now, I can walk past them and just take in natural information. Man, he's being harsh. That's no good. That's embarrassing. I wouldn't have that fight here. I can just kind of take all that in and just kind of pass by. Or I can dial into spiritual sensitivity. And as I'm walking, be recognizing, Lord, I've had a day like that. I pray for them right now. Whatever foothold the enemy wants to gain right now in their relationship through something silly, God, I stand against that. I pray their marriage would be fruitful and whole. And I'm still walking to Walmart, right? I'm working on this one as I drive. Because usually when someone does something I don't like in front of me, my first response is, you idiot! And so what I'm now trying to do is go, okay, Lord, I see that they're in a hurry. Maybe they've got something really important and they're late and they're stressed out. Lord, will you minister to them in their stress. Change their life, God. I mean, you could find ways in the moment to do some divine breathing. See it. Pray about it. Now, let's go back to the verse one more time. This is a great help to us because it's like the cradle of our prayer. Okay? So we have an alert mind. We're going to see things. When we see things, we're going to pray about it. When we pray about it, we're going to talk to God, and we're going to keep talking to God about it. We're going to have some persistence about it. But we're also going to cradle that with thanks. Why? Because thankfulness at the core is being aware of what God has done and you're grateful for it. And it stirs within you a hope. If God can do that, God can do anything. And so it undergirds your prayer the way that Paul said, no matter what we ask or imagine, God can do more. And so your heart stays lifted as you pray that prayer. Now, verse 3, he gives us a way to practice persistent prayer. He just mentions his own situation. He says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim the message as clearly as I should. Paul is in prison because of religious persecution. And so he says, listen, here's the way I want you to practice persistent prayer. What do you see with regard to my imprisonment? Now I want you to see this. I want you to see it as an opportunity for Jesus to use me to preach the gospel to other prisoners and to the guards. And by the way, when we read Philippians, which was written right after Colossians, we read that that's exactly what happens. People start getting saved in prison. So he's invited them. I want you to take my situation. I want you to practice persistent prayer. And I want you to see anything that looks like it's meant for our harm, God can turn it for good. And so you pray and you keep praying and you keep believing. Look at the next verse. Live wisely among those who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. Time is fleeting and it's precious. We need to capitalize on every opportunity. Don't discount the impact of your persistent praying. And then verse 6, I think, is like a glimpse into Paul's sense of humor. Because he's been saying, you got to talk to God, you got to talk to God, you got to talk to God. And now he's going to say, and you need to talk to people too. Here's why I think it's a sense of humor. Is because some of the most spiritually sensitive people I know, people that are living aware of what's happening around them, I mean, they're sensitive. They're dialed in. Spidey senses are firing. I mean, they're aware of everything that's happening, and when they see it, they pray about it. Some of the most spiritually sensitive people I know are weird. They are. Get the crazy eyes? Have a difficult time having a normal conversation with people? There was a lady years ago in our church, and she, every time she saw me, she had like this very heavy, deeply spiritual thing she wanted to talk about. I got to the point when I saw her coming down the hallway, I ran the other way. She's too much. See, I think we have to have this spiritual sensitivity. Man, we're going to talk to God, but we also have to be able to talk to people. Look at verse 6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so you'll have the right response for everyone. It's like Paul says, listen, you got to respect everybody. Some people are going to be where you are, man. They're digging that. Some people, not so much. You got to be spiritual, but not spooky. So, kind of landing the plane, deciding kind of what is God saying, how do I respond to this spiritual sensitivity? Here's the first thing. Maybe you need to grow in this way. Tip in the direction of being spiritually sensitive. You may have incredible business savvy. Man, your mind just functions in financials. That's amazing. There's so many ways that you kind of naturally are inclined to live your life. And maybe you have to deliberately tip yourself in the direction of being a spiritually sensitive person. Or secondly, maybe where you need to grow is by that alert mind and being more aware of what's happening around you. Like, look and see what's happening. Maybe you've got to boost your awareness. Or third, just the talking to God part. I got to add that in. I think I see things, but I'm not sure I'm always quick to leap from information to intercession. And so I got to talk with God more. Or be spiritual without being spooky. Maybe you walk in this, you're a spiritually sensitive person, but you just got to become more aware of people too.